Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medina.
Hallelujah. If you'll go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 20 and 21. The title of my message is God wants a clean instrument. Amen. Clean vessels. Do you know that God wants instruments, not influencers? Mercy. Amen. God wants instruments, vessels that God can use. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. If you have it, say amen. Hallelujah. God wants clean instruments. How many want to be used by God? Mightily, powerfully. And it reads, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Look what he says. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, look what he says. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, Jesus, prepared for every good work. Notice the Bible, Paul is writing to a young minister, a young pastor. And obviously, he is learning what it is to be a pastor. And God is using him. And you see how Paul, he's telling them, if you want to be used by God, you want God to use you, you got to be a willing vessel, a clean vessel instrument for God. I remember many, many years ago, the great evangelist Steve Hill, who is now with the Lord, he said, if you would read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, I believe he said 30 days straight, your life would never be the same. And I remember when I was reading a couple of days ago my devotion, I came across this scripture. And the Holy Spirit ministered to me, reminding me that in order to be used by God greatly, you got to be a clean vessel. And the Bible says that in a great house, it could be a metaphor for the church or in general, the kingdom of God. Let's say this morning in this church, or in general, the whole kingdom of God, the body of Christ, there are different types of vessels. And you got to ask yourself, what kind of vessel am I? What kind of vessel am I? I want God to use me, and I'm sure you want God to use you. And God uses all of us in different ways. Not everyone is called to be a preacher or a teacher. Some are, some are not. But God might call you to do something else for his kingdom. But you got to be a willing vessel where you tell the Lord, Lord, use me for your glory and honor, where I can be a blessing to the body of Christ, to other people. And see, I want to be an instrument of God, a vessel of God. Because an instrument of God will be used by God to produce, to see a particular result. My heart is about people. It's about, as a pastor, you got to love people. You got to love the church. And not everybody also is called to be a pastor. Because not everybody loves people. Amen. You got to love people. You got to shepherd people. You got to deal with people. You know, I was talking to a man of God. And I was sitting with him and I told him. Because this is what I do, church. Every time I'm sitting down in front of a man of God that who's been in this journey for years and years, I keep quiet and I listen. I don't boast. I don't talk about me. I listen to the person. And I'll say it right away. I'll say, after a while, tell them, what advice you give me? And he told me, I'm going to give you two things, he says. He says, number one, he says, guard your heart. Guard your heart, he says. Don't let no anger, bitterness, anything mess up your heart. And that's a scripture in the Bible. Above all things, guard your heart, he says. Because you as a pastor, he says, you deal with people. What you see, what you hear. He says, guard your heart. To forgive, let go, move forward. Love on people. He says, number two, he says, have a strong foundation, your relationship with God. He says, seek God, pray. And when he was telling me that, it reminded me of days back. It's been a while, because when I first came to the Lord, there was this a writer, his name is R.T. Kendall. Man of God. He pastored in a big church, well-known church in England. And I bought all his books, all his theology books. And there was one book called The Anointing. He was such a blessing that I wrote him a letter. You know what? Guess what? You know what happened? He wrote back, and I still have it. If you look him up, R.T. Kendall. And they interview him, and they asked him, he says, what's one thing, he says, you would tell ministers or Christians? Because he's been serving God over more than 60 years, and he's still alive. And he says, two things, he says. They pray to God. Get to know God and read and learn the Bible, he says. He said, and this is a very, very educational man. He has all the degrees he could come up with. He says, to be honest with you, he says, seminary is good, he says, but if you could learn the Bible, read the Bible, study the Bible, and pray, seek God, he says. And he gave an example in the book of Acts when the people were amazed at the disciples, the apostles. Why? Because the Bible says, because they had been with Jesus. See, church, when you learn to be with Jesus, your life will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Just like how we hang out with people, and many times they don't edify us. You get influenced by them. Think about it this way now, when you hang out with Jesus. You pray, you read the word. Guess what? Sooner or later, he's going to change your heart. He's going to change your life. And Paul, he tells Timothy, he says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Gold and silver. Who are those when the Bible says, in a great house, like in this house, are not only vessels of gold and silver. What are the gold and silver? Those are the purified ones. The vessels are ones that have a lot of value. The ones that have endured. But then he says, but also of wood and clay. So those are the foam cups. They break easy, and they're temporary. You throw them away. So Paul tells Timothy, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. But notice what he says, some for honor. I don't know about you, church, but I want to be a vessel of honor for his glory and honor. And then he says, and some for dishonor. Church, you're a child of God. Value yourself in Christ. Don't cut yourself short. Take pride in Jesus. That you are his son and daughter. That you're a somebody in Christ. See, us believers in Christ, followers of Christ, we have to be vessels of gold and silver. That's why, church, I strongly believe that we can be believers of pureness. See, you don't hear that much no more. Holiness. Hearts with integrity. Hearts that are committed to Christ. And what does that mean? All it means is that we separate ourselves and we stick with Jesus. And we are instruments. We influence those who don't know Christ, who don't know Jesus. And I'm not talking about church. Let me make this clear, because I think for a long time, we mix this up about religion and perfection. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about that as believers in Christ, we are called to be separated. Yeah, we love people. We're called to love people. We're called to love sinners. And we don't look down on them because those are God's creation. So ask God that you want to be not only a vessel, but a pure, clean, shiny vessel. He says in verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. See, did you know that you, nobody is going to do it for you. You got to cleanse yourself. Let me ask you, does someone have to push you, carry you to the shower? No, you already know. Man, when you're stinky, you know you got to get in the shower. I mean, come on. When people are telling you, brother, are you going to shower or what? And that's what the Bible, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that means to completely cleanse yourself. You remove, here it is, church, you remove anything that's impure from your life. And let me say this. That's why we're very grateful for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will nudge you. The Holy Spirit will convict you of things that we have to remove from your life, my life. The Holy Spirit, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why we try and we try and, you know, we try and we try to, you know, let me try this. But then you find out that, no, that's not you. You're called to live for Jesus. You got to remove every impurity, any ungodly influences in your life. Nowadays, people get influenced from ungodly things, ungodly people. At work, the workplace, it's real easy. I mean, if you're not connected with Jesus, you're not walking with Jesus, you haven't surrendered your life completely to, you're going to get influenced easy. And it's a trap of the enemy. It's a trap. But God wants clean vessels. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, you might be saying, well, how can I cleanse myself? That's the time when you recognize, you humble yourself, and you go to the feet of Jesus. And you know, what do? You repent. You ask God for forgiveness. And let me say this, Christ already paid the price on Calvary more than 2,000 years ago. But you, me and you, we go in faith to him and ask for forgiveness. He already paid the price. And you get up and you move forward. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. So the question is, do you want to be a vessel of honor? I don't want to just be a vessel. I want to be a vessel of honor. It's like when you have guests at your house, you pull out the best. Amen. Praise God for Family Dollar and General. Amen. Those emergency cups, you know, the ones we grab right away. Hey, you send your son. Hey, go to Family Dollar. Give me those. But then you got the other cups that are up there. You might have to grab a little ladder, you know, to go up there and remove some because they're in the back. Why? Because that's a vessel of honor. Who are we honoring? We're honoring Jesus Christ, church. You're the vessel, and that's why we have to honor Jesus Christ. Be the best for him. And I'm not talking about, listen, church, I'm not talking about exterior performance. That's good when we perform exteriorly, where people see us, our works, all that is good. That's fine. We perform or we know how to perform well. But I'm going deeper. I'm talking about the inside. Clean vessels, clean hearts, sanctified hearts, where God goes and sees the heart, and he sees your life, he sees your heart, he sees, and he says, you know what, I can use this person right here. The times that we live in, people are too worried about what people think about us. How many likes do we have? How many people are we influencing? Because all that is exterior works. It's exterior works. And, you know, we could put and load up 500 pictures. But God sees more than that. We can't fool God. I can't fool God. And you know, and that's my prayer every day is that, Lord, I need you every day. I need you today. Yesterday was a day of victory. Yesterday was successful. Yesterday was a day of blessing. But today's a new day. I need you today, Jesus. Today's a new day. All that stuff, the influence of what people think about us, all that comes automatic. But we got to separate ourselves. We have to separate ourselves. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses themselves from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful. See, you're going to be useful. You want God to use you? For the Master, Jesus. Wow. And I always say this, and I just recently said it, that the more, listen to all of us here, the more God is blessing you, the more God is prospering you, the more God is using you as a vessel, we have to become more humble. More humble. That it's him. It's him. Don't never let it get to your head that it's me. Or without me, they can't. Don't ever think that. The moment you say that, God already has 30 people better than you. Don't get that attitude. Every day, when I go to the Lord, I need you. The more God puts you up here, the more humble you got to be. Humble heart, where you cry out to the Lord. Because you want God to continue to use you for his glory and honor. Just listen, here's a nugget. Just because God uses you, or you've been a blessing, or God did great things amongst you, that doesn't mean you say, you know what, tomorrow I take a break off. I get a free break. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read the Bible. And matter of fact, you know, I'm going to go a little crazy. And I got that from this. I'm going to tell you a true story. It's like when you're working out, you know, you're doing everything well. Cheat day, you know, and you go on this rampage. I mean, you go off. But what happens? The next day, you feel bad. You feel bloated. You feel guilty. That's the way it is, church, spiritually. No, this is an everyday thing. Balance it out for God's kingdom, for his glory and honor. And I want to finish with this. Always remember this, church. You ready? Purity over being popular. Don't worry about being popular. No, worry about living a pure life, having a pure heart. Because holiness is not about hype. I mean, let me say this. People can see it. This is a man of God. This is a woman of God. There's no hype. They just see the pureness. Number two, discernment over distraction. Guard your heart, church, from false teachings. There's a lot of false teachings out there. Trying to say that there's a lot of ways, roads that lead you to Jesus. No, there's only one way. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No one goes to the Father except by me. You got others saying, oh, no, they're all the same God. Guard your heart. Discernment over distraction. We got to discern. Be careful. Discern sexual sin. I'm going to say it again. Discern sexual sin. In God's kingdom, everything changes. Come on, Pastor. Come on. Nothing wrong, you know. Taking turns every weekend. Come on. No, no. It's a sin. It's a sin. Guard your heart, pride. Let me say this too. Pride is not of God. That was the first sin before Adam and Eve in the garden. It happened with Lucifer. Pride. He wanted to be like God. I want to be like God. I want the worship. Be careful. The worship and praise, only God gets it, not man. Yeah, because you got people, you know, oh, yeah, when I come in, everybody's going to move to the side. No. Chill. Take a seat. You know what's different? Let me give you an example. Because one thing is pride, another thing is honor. At the confraternidad we had in Calexico, I called the pastor. I said, Pastor Moreno, with your permission, listen what I'm saying, church. We can learn things, ethics. I said, with your permission, would it be okay if the first row and maybe the second, you can leave it where nobody sits, but for the pastors? And he says, yes, of course, right away. So when we get there, Pastor Eduardo was there already. And I got there, but the whole time I was keeping an eye as the pastors were getting here. And some would sit second, third row, but I had them. I'm talking about senior pastors of the churches. And I made sure that everybody would move to the front. What is that called? That's honor. You honor the man and the woman of God. But now, if I go somewhere, the place is packed. And James talks about that. And because of my pride or whatever, I don't care the order. I'm going to go sit in the front. But James says, hey, don't do that. He says, because if you do, it might be that they go and call you out and they're going to sit you in the back. Now that's embarrassing. That's a little nugget for you to. Discernment over distraction. Be careful with distractions. Real easy we get distracted. And thirdly, availability over ability. Be a person that is available. You didn't hear me. Be a person that is available. You know, there's people here. I'm not going to say names. You know who you are. There's people here that I could count on like this. If I call them, they always say yes. They'll figure it out. Or sometimes you don't even have to wait. They come to you. They're available. Availability over ability. What do I mean? It's not about the qualifications. It's about clean vessels. Clean vessels and that are available. That's why it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Hear me, church. It's a beautiful thing. When you can work with people that are available. Even before you even ask, they are available. You know, there's people you tell, hey, oh, man, because I'm not sure if I'm going to go, you know, so. I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. All right, brother, throw me another one. Come on. It's not about the qualifications. It's not about how much what I have, what I do, what I've done. It's about being available. And lastly, transformation over tradition. Again, it's not about religion. It's about being relevant and holy in the culture we live in. I was last week, Thursday, at a presbyter's meeting, and we were having lunch. There were some pastors, and a pastor, me and my wife were there, and a pastor asked me, we were talking about, he says, do you, when you go in the pulpit, he says, do you go with your iPad or do you take a Bible? I told them, for the most part, it's the iPad, but when I remember, I'll take a Bible with me. Because I already know how this works. He goes, yeah, he says, me, he goes, there's people, he says, there's people that don't, you know, they look at you like if you're in sin, if you don't go up with the Bible itself. So we're talking about that. And they were laughing because I got there with this right here. And the other, they had little screens like this. He goes, man, brother, he goes, you brought the plasma. He says, but there's stuff where we're small, nothing thinking bad about that, but we're laughing. But what I'm trying to get to is that tradition, culture changes church. I don't know if you got that. If you look at a logo from a restaurant from the 80s to 2025, is it different, yes or no? For the most part. And it's the same thing. This is what I'm trying to say. Culture changes, But the message itself, the word of God, the Bible, is the same. Is the same.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that? So nowadays, it's not, for the most part, everybody is going to uses a tablet. And praise God. Because the message, the Bible, is in the tablet. The pure, holy word. And that's what we're talking about. But there's people that can get very, and we respect that. Everybody has their opinion. Like, oh no, you got to take an actual Bible, because if not, it's a sin. Let me give you another example. It's like here we do it both ways. We pick up an offering, if I could say it this way, manually. The sisters standing and they're there with what? The basket, right? And people come forward and put the money in there. Praise God. But because of technology, because the days that we're living in now, the culture we live in, now there's what? You could do it what? Electronically. Through a church app or PayPal, Venmo. You could do all kinds of stuff now. But you got people that are saying, oh, he says, I don't like to give through the church app. I like to do it in person, he says. And then I'm going to tell you, because I hear everything. It's because I feel that when I go in person, I get the blessing. I'm thinking, brother, if you do it in person or through, the blessing is there if you believe what the word of God says, that when you give, it shall be given unto you. So that's my point, and this is what I'm trying to say, is that we got to be what? Not get too religious in certain things, but be relevant, but with pureness, holiness, for his glory and honor.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.